This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh yeah, it's finally time to talk, really talk about the updated 2025 Ram 1500.
And can we say for the record that this is a little bit more than just an update? We're not talking about just, you know, a refresh front end. We're not just talking about a couple extra goodies. We're talking about a significant update.
Yes, on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast, we go deep because on the face of it, yes, new headlamps, maybe a new grille, an updated bumper, maybe a larger screen, right?
Right.
But I went to Austin, Texas. I was there with the guys who created it, designed it, and engineered it. And I learned a lot, but I want to bring it to you. And how do we do this?
We do this by interviewing the man himself.
Yes, the chief engineer, Doug Killian, is going to be on this podcast. I'm going to do an interview with him, and it's going to be really fun because I learned a lot more about this truck myself because I thought, oh, like I was saying what you basically was mentioning, right? It's just a light update. But, of course, there's a new power plant, but there's also a new electrical system.
Right.
And there's a fun way to describe it.
Yes, yes. Think biology when you're thinking this truck, and you're on the right track.
Well, we all tend to, at least us enthusiasts, tend to humanize vehicles, right? We refer to them by name sometimes. Mm-hmm. We create nicknames. And it's kind of fun to talk about it as a person. You know, the engine is the heart. The skeleton is the frame. There's also other parts to it.
Yes, which we're going to avoid. And I know many of you expect me to say something inappropriate.
No, we won't.
But I'm not going to. Yeah.
Yes. And also, before we kick off the interview, I also wanted to thank some of our Patreon supporters because you guys are pretty incredible.
You are indeed. Thank you very much for your support.
So just recently, Hunter Bardu, Brian Aries supported us, and we have a couple of comments and questions from you guys. We really appreciate it. And we're also doing something else on Patreon. We're actually launching some of our video series there first. For example, we did it with our Mercedes GL series.
That's right.
And we have another series coming up.
We do indeed.
So I guess I can say
that. Yeah, there's no reason why you can't.
Ineos Grenadier.
That's right. We just recently acquired an Ineos Grenadier, and we've been doing a whole bunch of trials with it. There's a series that's coming up with it. You're going to be seeing a lot of this vehicle. And in addition, if you are a member of the Patreon group, then you will be getting additional information with that.
Yeah, and you could see some of those episodes first before anybody else on YouTube sees it.
Bingo.
So that's pretty special. And also, of course, we can talk to each other, questions, comments, on patreon.com/TFLcar is our only page for all of TFL stuff.
That is correct.
So, yeah, so that's pretty fun. So, let me just explain a little bit of what I did in Texas, and then we can kick off the interview. So,
Okay. This
was the first drive event. Mm-hmm. So, this was several waves of journalists. It was pretty large. It has to be because they haven't done one really since 2018 when the 2019 truck came out.
Right, right. And there's in many ways a lot more going on with this truck, and it's coming at a very crucial time because we are talking about recently the Ford F-150, the GMC Sierra, of course, the Silverado, and the brand new Toyota Tundra. These trucks hit the market within the past few years with either a minor or major update. So the one who's been lagging, Ram. So this is really important for them.
And this is their coming out party.
Exactly. Right?
So we did, they had many trucks, I want to say upwards of 20 different pickup trucks mm-hmm. at this event in Austin, Texas. And there's most of them had the turbocharged engine, the new Hurricane, the 3-liter twin turbo. They had some of the standard output. They had some high output trucks. They had the new Tungsten. I also did a couple of videos with the Rev, their all electric prototype.
Ah, yeah.
And the Ram Charger range extended pickup truck that's electric. And those videos are already published. So
right.
You could see those on alltfl.com. And then we got the tow trailer. They had an Airstream trailer, which is pretty sizable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was about 22 or 24 feet as far as the living quarters are mm-hmm. concerned in the trailer. And it was about 7,000 pounds. So we got to tow the trailer. They also had Rebels, the brand new turbocharged Hurricane Rebel truck.
Which, for those of you who are listening, that's the image that Andre has directly behind him.
Yes.
A slightly dirty one.
Well, because it's muddy.
Yeah.
Yes. And we got to go off-road at this ranch, this beautiful place
mm-hmm.
In Texas. So we did a lot. Well, now let's dig in. Let's talk to Doug Killian right now. Hello, Doug. Thanks for making the time for being on the Talking Trucks podcast.
Absolutely, Andre. Glad to help. Glad to, you know, have some time to chat, talk some trucks.
Yeah. So can you please introduce yourself briefly, you know, sort of your title and your involvement in the Ram 1500?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug Killian, Chief Vehicle Synthesis Manager. I'm really responsible for vehicle development for trucks at Stellantis. And of course, trucks at Stellantis means Ram.
I like the synthesis part.
The synthesis, you know, that's the, and we'll talk a little bit about like the anatomy and physiology of a truck, but we actually kind of put the DNA into the truck is what makes a Ram a Ram. And it gives it its personality and its specifics.
Well, I want to get to the core of this question, right? Because people are, I mean, they've seen it, you know, maybe images and video clips of this new truck. And, but some of them are questioning what has changed. You know, is it drastically different? Is it about the same? So I kind of want to go point by point, kind of component by component, if we can, and get to the bottom of it. So it's a 2025 Ram 1500. So you're basically launching your internal combustion lineup, right?
That's right.
And we could touch on electrification a little bit later, right? Those are coming.
Sure.
So let's start basically with the, I guess, the skeleton, the frame.
Yeah, the bones of the truck, so to speak. We really made a bigger adjustment when we launched the fifth generation Ram. So I'll say we even like looked forward a little bit in terms of our choice of materials, and we really leaned into the high strength steel, 95% high strength, 50 KSI steel in the frame, as well as the body in white. So we did the structure, the bones part when we launched fifth generation Ram. So what we've done here is we've continued to evolve the suspension around that frame. And when I say that, it's more in the tuning than the actual change in the architecture. We've got, we think, a good solid foundation to build on in terms of the combination of ride, handling, capability. In terms of where a light duty truck customer is right now, is we think that's a good spot. So there's not a lot of visible changes on the underbody, but they can be felt in terms of the level of refinement and the tuning, essentially, that's now adapting to our new propulsion system, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, one of the new engines in our lineup. That continuous evolution of the link coil rear suspension, double wishbone front suspension has been something we've been working on for quite some time now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Ram light-duty trucks, the 1500s, they have been, you guys had the multi-link rear suspension for you know, at least since 2019 generation and even before.
For sure. Even before that. Yeah. Yeah. We've continued to evolve that suspension is really the right suspension for a Ram light duty.
So you still have all the options, right? You know, there's steel coils. You can have air suspension. And we'll touch on, you know, the Rebel, the off-road, some of the off-road trucks as well.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we have the coil suspension. They're variable rate coils. So right around the normal ride height of the vehicle, the rate is lower. And then as you load, increase the payload on the truck, the rate increases to keep that ride frequency the right point for the best handling and best ride. So yeah, we've still some evolution on those spring rates, going from a straight rate to a variable coil is something that we've evolved over time.
I gotcha.
Air suspension. Similarly, air suspension we've developed. We've continued to develop that piston profile, the piston essentially that the air spring rides on, and the damping characteristics beneath it.
I noticed you had a chassis. I actually met you at the event, right, in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, right.
And we didn't get a chance, a little bit of time to speak like this. So thank you for making the time. But I saw in the rear section, kind of over where the rear spare tire is, I noticed those two cylinders.
Yes.
Is that part of the air system as well?
It is, exactly. Those are the reservoirs that hold the compressed air. So we have a series of valves that will shuttle air back and forth to those reservoirs. So there's a quicker time to go to a lower suspension or to a higher ride height by just moving that compressed air.
Have you considered, I don't know if it's available now, but getting some owner's air compressor feature or like an accessory down the line? I mean, is that something outside of the suspension, I guess?
Yeah, you know, that's something we've thought about. When we look at our strategy for air suspension, it really does take advantage of those reservoirs. So having compressed air on board, if we were to offer that to the customer, they could deplete that down. We've really found that customers who want compressed air, if that's part of their job, part of their business, is that they have a compressor that's really for compressor duty. The compressor we have on board is really meant for keeping those reservoirs full, and probably would not be satisfactory for somebody who really uses compressed air on their job.
Understood. Cool. Well, you touched on the springs and the suspension. Let's talk about payload and towing, right? And I was looking at the spec sheets, and it doesn't seem like you changed it a lot, if any. Can you speak a little bit about those capabilities?
Yeah, the payload, 2,370 pounds is our max payload. That's really remained steady as we move into this update. Really a pretty good number for a light duty customer. What we're expecting is there's a point where if somebody's using their truck purely for payload, there comes that time when it's time to step up into a 2,500. And the more we grow that number, the more of a compromise there is to the unloaded ride or just the partially loaded ride. And where we find a 1,500 or a light duty truck customer tends to use their truck. So yeah, we kept that right around, you know, 2,400 pounds. Towing, similarly, there's trade-offs that we can make in terms of the cooling system size. And once we get over 10,000 pounds, we're at 11,550 on this truck. That's a sizable trailer. We think about our customers tend to tow boats is a pretty common one, or cargo trailers, box trailers, a toy hauler type thing. That we find that if those customers are 90% of the time or 80% of the time not towing and hauling heavy payload, well, we don't want to make a compromise just to put a number up there. That's where we have a whole portfolio of trucks for those customers. And so, yeah, it's not quite the 12,750 we used to be for towing with the Hemi. We have a new engine. That engine has higher heat rejection in certain situations, like when we're towing up Davis Dam, situations where we really are. Not only can we put the trailer behind the truck, but we absolutely test its endurance and its ability to handle the most extreme temperature conditions along with altitude and grade, and really say, yeah, if that's the rating we're putting on the truck, there's no way anyone's going to find that limit. We really push it to the 99th percentile of what anyone's going to do with this truck and beyond.
I gotcha. Yeah, we get a lot of questions at TFL Truck related to like what's my limiting factor to towing, right? Is it
Yeah.
suspension? And people rarely think about actually radiators and cooling, right? And that
Yes.
has to do not just with the engine, but also transmission.
For sure. For sure. The cooling needs of the transmission is that combined vehicle, the truck and the trailer, put an extreme load on the driveline, the axle and the transmission. And when we put a number on the paper and we say that's the rating, that's exactly what we mean is it's going to absolutely satisfy the driver of that vehicle to that point. A number is a number until you actually have to live with it and say, okay, this is something the engineers at Ram helped to, help to decide when we put this product out.
I gotcha. Well, now let's jump into the powertrain, right?
Yeah.
So it's a natural segue. So you're introducing your Hurricane lineup, 3 liter twin turbos.
That's right. Yeah, and actually, we have two different versions of that 3 liter twin turbo engine, a standard output, and we call it the Hur. It's the Hur, known as the Hurricane. You'll notice when you were here, you saw the truck say SST on the little powertrain modifier on the badge, is straight six turbo. So that engine effectively replaces the Hemi in the light duty truck. And its horsepower numbers are there. It's 420 horsepower on that standard output. And then the second version of that Hurricane is a high output, 540 horse. That engine has bigger turbos. It's more forged components on the inside of the long block. So two versions of effectively the same displacement engine, but the guts of the engine draw more power from the high output. And similarly, we have a larger exhaust to manage just the amount of airflow through that engine with a true dual setup on the high output.
Well, those numbers are very impressive for both versions for the displacement, right? I mean, if you're talking about specific output of this engine, it sounds really impressive.
It certainly is, yeah. And there's actually different boost levels. We think about what those turbos are doing for effectively adding a fuel air charge to those 3 liters of displacement. 22 PSI on the standard output and 28 PSI on the high output, actually. So that really needs a stout block and instead of the crank train, essentially, if you will, the crankshaft, conrods, pistons, those really need to handle a severe amount of pressure. At especially 22 or 28 PSI, and they're all engineered for that level of pressure and durability at those extreme levels. That's how we get the power out of it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Gotcha. Did you consider maybe hanging the V8 as an option somewhere? You know, because there are a lot of fans, of course, of that engine, of the 5.7 liter.
Yeah. The V8 has been just absolute core of pickups. And we still have V8 in our heavy duty. We still have V8 in the Ram 1500 Classic. But we're looking at, really as we move forward with ICE pickup, there's a point where we really have to recognize the amount of CO2, fuel economy, and power, and to essentially change that game and make them all better really means that we're moving to a different engine, and we consider the volume of that. We really need to look at the emissions of this vehicle and say we're doing the right thing moving forward to keep ICE in the product and a fully modern, clean. Not that the Hemi is not, but at the same time, we're all trying to move forward with our emission side.
Did you state your EPA numbers yet, or is that coming?
Not yet. Nope. Those are still we're still getting our final confirmations from the agencies, and they will be available next month.
Well, I gotta say, just quickly, my impression of the I drove primarily the standard output engine.
Okay.
I had a limited amount of time, so I'm sure I can get some experience in both really soon. And sure. I gotta say, the standard output Hurricane, 420 horsepower. Even in the, I drove a Tradesman with that engine,
okay,
as an optional engine, and I gotta say, the smoothness of that engine is noticeable. Just kind of sitting around at the traffic light, even idling, didn't notice the engine. And the power is very linear. I just felt like, just kind of endless, just really good amount of power. So I was really pleased with that. On the flip side, it was so smooth and nice. And it's a little bit quiet. So I don't know how some people will react to it, because, part of the truck traditionally is also the sound characteristic of it, I guess.
Yeah, that is one thing that the Hemi exhaust note and the rumble that goes with the Hemi, those are absolute characteristic of a V8 that are, can only be found in a V8. That architecture is just absolutely sounds awesome. And I've driven Hemi trucks for years. I've now moved into a Hurricane. And yeah, there's one thing that that people might miss is that exhaust note that's just inherent to a V8 and that we loved tuning for so long.
But the 469 pound-feet of torque, low end, also, available pretty low in the RPM range. I mean, those numbers are hard to argue against, even in the standard engine. So
absolutely.
I guess what I haven't done is, and some people are wondering about this, is I want to use obviously all the new powertrains on our iGauntlet test, which is our mountain towing test. And one question I already received from an owner of this powertrain in a different vehicle, which was a Grand Wagoneer. They had some questions about the grade shifting performance or the downhill performance of the new powertrain. Okay. Can you speak a little bit about the downhill performance of this?
Yeah, essentially, as you go downhill and you're choosing a lower gear, this engine will, of course, provide a level of engine braking to to help out with the descent. It's something that we're able to tune as we tune the valve timing and the fuel mixture on the closed throttle position. The more efficient the engine is, there's a bit of a limitation, and actually the lower displacement as well is something that there's opportunities with larger displacement. So essentially with our light duty truck, we have made a bit of a trade-off there. So a lower gear is going to need to be found, but also capable of higher RPMs as you're going downhill. So, maybe at a certain point earlier, there was a time where you don't want to shift to a lower gear because it's approaching a red line. We certainly have a more potential on a high end.
And you also
to that point, there's again, it comes to that. What is a light duty truck customer looking for running the Ike? And using that downhill, that we think there's certainly sufficient engine braking to not strain the foundation brake system beneath that to any degree.
I gotcha. And also tow haul mode is still there, and you can tune that appropriately, right?
That's right. Yeah, so tow haul mode will be certainly finding those lower gears. And if you've driven the truck, you recognize we have our ERS, our electric range select, right on the steering wheel, because sometimes there's just that extra bump, that extra gear that the driver wants that helps get that extra bit of engine braking.
And the transmission is still 8 speeds, all 8 speeds, right?
That's right. That's right. They're all the ZF based 8-speed. And no matter which engine you get the 8-speed transmission.
And then the 3.6 Pentastar V6 is still there.
And correct.
E-Torque combined with E-Torque.
That's right. Yeah, we launched E-Torque with the fifth gen on the 3.6 Pentastar and the Hemi as well. It lives on in with the Pentastar. And that's really another, that's an efficiency type of enabler, good for fuel economy, recovering some of that, some of the braking energy as you tip into the brake pedal, charges back that 48 volt battery, which in turn will be an assist, so to speak, to the crankshaft when you take off and, you know, give some of that energy back that it's not defying physics. It's just making the best use of the energy that we have and not converting that, that braking energy purely into heat.
Can we take this opportunity? I wanted to talk a little bit about the inverter system and the power export. Yeah. Can you kind of describe that and how it works both with the Hurricane and also the Pentastar?
Yeah, actually, similarly, that that 2-kilowatt inverter that's available in the truck bed, really, the engine choice will not limit the peak power at all times. We do have a more of an opportunity on the 3.6 liter in terms of having that 48 volt system, which is based on the E-Torque, is really the foundation of E-Torque to help the inverter on board. But in either case, 2 kilowatts is available at the power panel and while driving, it's available as well.
Yeah, I love that feature. I mean, it's becoming more and more prevalent because, mm-hmm. I mean, traditionally, 400 watt systems were kind of, the standard. And now I'm seeing, 2 kilowatt or even some higher with electrification, right? Some higher inverter systems. Mm-hmm. And I find that very useful. So that's really good that you're including that.
Yeah, it's a good feature for the truck user to have that amount of power on board and, going beyond just charging, charging batteries for another system is you can actually run, once you get over a kilowatt, running a chop saw or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. So let's talk about the nervous system of this truck.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about the bones a little bit, right? And the heart, the nervous system. So the electrical system of the truck, Atlantis High Electrical Architecture is what we call it at Stellantis. And essentially that's an evolution of what we had is called PowerNet. Atlantis High brings a faster level of communication amongst modules. So including the infotainment, that's probably the most visible to a customer. That system also allows us to do different things in terms of having active driving assist, which, of course, can kind of be a bit of a game changer in a truck that that puts a lot of miles on every year and there's a lot of highway miles and just over the road. Definitely want to talk about active driving assist and hands-free active driving assist. But that electrical architecture also allows us to do more of the onboard computers or modules we can do over-the-air updates with those. It's a more secure architecture. So when we have our telematics module that's on the truck, just has more security. And that's how we were able to open up more modules to over-the-air updates.
So this including is having coming in
like a smartphone is a key. That's another thing that we've enabled with this architecture and its security is that simply using the RAM app on a smartphone, don't need to take even your phone out of your pocket. And pair right into the truck and be able to have a shareable key for, say, a spouse or a kid or somebody on a work site. I mean, those are things that can be done all with security.
So this is a new feature coming in now, right? The 2025 model.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Enabled by that Atlantis High architectures, that smartphone is a key.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit more about the driver assist technology. I mean, adaptive cruise has been around, right?
For sure.
But you're extending that capability.
Exactly. Yeah. So we think of adaptive cruise as almost like feet free driving, and we're now talking hands free driving, and there's other adaptations of hands-free driving that are out there. But we're looking at really hands-free on a RAM is not as much about technology, say for technology's sake, or what can I demo really quickly on a drive that's like, wow, that's cool technology. We're really looking at the guy or the, you know, the driver who drives a lot of miles, puts on 500, 800 plus miles a day and wants to, you know, do that with more confidence and not as much intensity and kind of keep their, you know, be refreshed by the time they're getting where they're going, not to get that road weary sensation. So for us, that really means for the hands-on active driving assist is we have a capacitive sensor in the steering wheel. So it doesn't require that level of torque and angle on the steering wheel to recognize that the driver's actually has their hand on the wheel. We use a capacitive switch. So just that just touch sensation is all as it needs. Directly seeing that the driver's holding the wheel. And then with the hands-free, which the system will actually switch as the road becomes enabled, it will switch from a hands-on to a hands-free with a simple cluster pop-up that shows, literally actually shows hands coming off of a steering wheel and the words hands-free comes up, is it's always looking for the highest level of assistance available. And if the driver leaves the highway, essentially that hands-free is available on restricted access highways, so highways that have an entrance and exit ramp. It'll always look for that highest level of assist. But what we also do is realize that some drivers don't necessarily trust these systems right away, or maybe even just their behavior says, yeah, they might want to have their hands on the wheel through a section of road. Not that the system can't handle it, it's just their level of comfort either driving or driving with an assist system. So one thing that we do is somewhat unique, as we call it co-steering, is that we don't disengage the hands-free system when the driver puts their hands on the wheel. We let them kind of come in and co-steer and, you know, take charge as they need to without disengaging or creating any level of, you know, requiring them to turn the system back on. So we kind of look at it as it's a way to keep the stress level down, keep the intensity down, and let the truck and the driver kind of partner up on that activity. And as trust levels change, the driver may just become more confident and they'll do more true hands-free, but we don't want to penalize them for again, comfort in just taking even a partial hold of the wheel as they're going driving the truck.
I got you. Yeah, and I mean, I haven't tried your hands-free system yet. I'm looking forward to that. So, but my previous experience with some other systems, some of them worked, you know, smoother than others. So I think it's important that you're paying attention to that, and because it's almost like it has to feel natural, right? It's not like the way the vehicle is steering or adjusting and accelerating or decelerating. So I think it's important to, you know, that you're paying attention to all those things.
Exactly. That's one thing we found is it's just an overall smoother experience when we let the driver co-drive as opposed to letting the system try to decide, does the driver want to take over entirely or not at all? We let them kind of both participate as needed. And, you know, that really makes for the smoothest experience. And then that trust builds over time and ultimately becomes the way to reduce the stress and driver fatigue. And that's really what it's about in terms of having a driving assist on a RAM truck.
And for the hands-free system, there's a sensor on the steering column, right? For the eyes.
Correct. Yes. In hands-free mode, that sensor is constantly looking, using essentially a facial, you know, recognition to see just that there are eyes looking ahead, that the driver is engaged. And not just from certainly it's something that it's a safer situation if the driver is paying attention to the road because there's always the unknowns that are out there. But if the driver becomes drowsy or if, you know, if there's other situations that sensor essentially is able to nudge the driver. We have a vibration haptic feedback in the seat that will essentially give a nudge if the driver's looking away for too long or becomes distracted. It's a nudge and it's all within the driver's side of the vehicle. There's not a chime or anything that's creates drama for anyone else in the truck. It's really meant for the driver to engage and stay alert without being annoying. And we really spent some time on that. At what level is being too much of a, is trying to control the situation too much? And how much is it just a little nudge that a driver would need from time to time?
I gotcha. And are you enabling, does this work with towing as well? Or how does that interact with the system?
Yeah, so the system will not penalize or turn off. The system is still engaged, even when towing a trailer. We recognize there's opportunity to optimize and to do a system with towing. That's something we're developing and evolving, but we found that letting the system be able to work, especially with hands-on, as there's a trailer and the combined vehicle having its own dynamics and an own level of attention from the driver, is still a point that we find that we let the system work, but we're not saying it should be a full-on hands-free with trailer at this point. That there's still that level of driver involvement that we think is important.
Well, speaking about driver involvement, I want to compliment on the towing mirror. So most of the trucks I drove three, had towing mirror, mm-hmm. the new one. And also, yeah. I mean, the towing mirror was actually introduced, I believe, last year on the heavy duty lineup as well.
That's right.
But the control looks new. The actual panel on the driver's side for the window switches and also the mirror control, I just found... Yeah. I did a little video about it. I just found that they're really helpful and very intuitive.
Oh, thanks for that feedback. I mean, that's something you can recognize with the amount of controls that we have in terms of the spotter mirror and the large mirror, being able to control them independently and intuitively as you tow a lot. And you don't want to spend time looking down at a control. You can learn it very quickly. We spent time making sure that it was intuitive because we recognize when you're towing a trailer, it's about the situation that's in front of you and behind you. And sometimes you need to adjust those spotters. You need to see down to the trailer tires just a little bit differently. You need to see around you. And we want drivers to be able to do that intuitively while going down the road. Even moving the mirrors out, you notice they have power telescoping, power folding, that everything can happen essentially from that pad, even as in a short amount of time, without even having to look, is you just know where to put your fingers and make those adjustments.
Yeah,
so I really appreciate localized. That feedback.
Yeah, it's really localized to one area, right? You don't have to manipulate different areas, different switches in different areas, which I thought was a great implementation of that. So that's really good.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, let's, I guess, switch a little bit into interior since we're kind of on the inside now. And you also introduced a new trim level, which is the tungsten, which in addition to your other trim levels that you have. The tungsten is quite luxurious. Whoa.
It is. Yeah. The seats, especially, I think if you had a chance to sit in those seats, 24-way adjustment. So there's the cushion extender is one thing for I'll keep going back to that. The person driving a truck for a long over the road experience, the electrical side, we just talked about it, the active driving assist, but where you're actually seated, having massage, and that's not only available on the tungsten, but massage on the cushion and on the seat back is a way to also reduce some driver fatigue and sore spots. And, certainly you can appreciate where you kind of want to move around a little bit. That 24-way seat allows you to make the adjustments to get a little more thigh support when you need it. A little more side bolster support if you're in curvy areas or widen it out when you're on the highway. Just adjusting that seat and then having the active massage going is another way to keep the driver fresh and in the right place and alert as they're going down the road.
Yeah,
and they get where they're going. Obviously, they get where they're going. The idea is the destination, and we want to get them there in the best, the best way possible. So tungsten is just a luxurious. It's a place to spend time that is absolutely just without compromise and without anything that the driver has to do to make that a better experience.
Yeah, it. I mean, obviously, you still have the Limited and the Limited Longhorn and the Laramie and the Bighorn or Lone Star, right? It's called Lone Star in Texas.
Yeah, specifically in Texas, we call it Lone Star. We recognize Texas is a big state for our products. And yeah, the Bighorn and the Lone Star from a pure function and content standpoint are basically identical, but we do give a nod to the state of Texas with the Lone Star.
That's
And
cool. And of course,
Bighorn
the
would be.
Tradesman. I already mentioned the Tradesman that I drove. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've made some upgrades on Tradesman this year as well. You may have noticed the radio that we have in the Tradesman with the 8.4-inch screen, where that screen goes right to the edges. It's pretty high-tech radio in essentially the entry model to the Ram.
And it starts with there's no two door still, right? So it starts with a quad cab. So an extended four-door cab, and you got the crew, of course, and you have different bed sizes like before.
Correct. Yeah, the 5'7", 5'7" bed, which has Ram Box available, is the starting configuration, and that's the bed that comes as the first configuration with the crew cab. With the quad cab, there's a 6'4", 6'4" box. That box is also available with the crew cab. So we do have that kind of that mix of cab size and box size to for depending on the customer's usage. How they want to divide their people space versus their box space.
I gotcha. I also drove the new Rebel. So the 2025 Ram 1500 Rebel continues. And it has the standard output Hurricane.
Correct. Yeah,
So,
in addition, yeah. Go ahead.
no, just wondering how, I mean, is the Rebel mostly the same? I know the interior is also a little bit changed. So you can have a premium interior with a larger screen. But I wanted to get a little bit of the perception. How did the Rebel change with this new update?
Yeah, Rebel really, in terms of its mission as part of the portfolio, has remained pretty steady as a very capable off-roader. And if you did the off-road course, I think you would have seen that, especially coupled with air suspension and the standard output Hurricane, is it's quite a capable off-road performer. It also comes along with the exterior aesthetic. We go with the bolder colors. Our tire choice there, with the Goodyear DuraTrack, is key to putting that tractive power to the ground and having some level of durability for craggy rocks and mud. So we found that's a good pairing. So there's certainly off-road capability there. In fact, I think a lot of Rebel buyers probably could go even further with how far they push their truck. Certainly it's got the off-road image and it's got the off-road performance to back it up.
And you got the Bilstein shocks. I mean, those are still there.
So that tuning, that suspension, it does have a higher ride height compared to a standard truck. So with that, we think we've got a good mix of good on-road manners with some serious off-road chops too.
So I did the off-road course at the ranch we were at, and I noticed, I think. You guys have done, I mean, this was the same with the previous generation or iteration of the truck. It's really good in four low. And by that, I mean smoothness, right? So what happens sometimes when you're selecting four low, you're gearing down the transfer case, and then there could be a little bit of jerky motion, right? Where maybe in the first gear, you're too, there's a little bit too much torque. But I found the 8-speed combination is still really smooth. I mean, it feels natural. So I think it used to be like that, and it still continues, which is, I think, is really great.
Yeah, it's a good pairing with the standard output Hurricane and the crawl ratio to have that smoothness. That's an important part of driving through rough terrain, is you want to be predictable and smooth. And certainly, as the calibration with of the propulsion system was developed, that was a key point, is keeping it smooth as you transition onto the throttle and off. And using features like select speed control, if you had the chance to do the hill descent, you could really appreciate the amount of engine braking and then actual foundation braking that's occurring to maintain a steady descent. through that rocky path that we had on our off-road course.
Yeah, I did. One thing was a little strange. This is just my first impression, was that on the select speed, it's the kind of controlling the speed of descent, right?
Correct.
And there are, as far as I remember, there are 8 different levels.
Yes.
Of the speed. But I think the mode, the left, I remember it's on the left of the steering wheel, and you control it, I believe, with the transmission up and
with
down.
With the ERS. Yeah, it's actually on the right side. So we have our drive modes are selectable on the left, and on the right side is the electric range select for the transmission. So essentially that switch bank becomes the speed control. And it's not just hill descent control, but also if you're just going over a rocky path as you set that one speed. So as the terrain goes up or down, it's not just controlling a descent, but also an ascent as you go uphill. So, yeah, we thought that thumb switch being right there on the steering wheel, where it's just an intuitive spot for us to either bump up or bump down, much like you would do if you're driving or towing. And you want just a little bit of engine braking. We want that shifter to be very easy to use. Or the reins to be very easy to use.
I just found that I had thought I was switching my transmission, at first. And then I understood it after using it for a few seconds. And then, so my initial thing was like, oh, am I shifting gears? And no, I'm not. So that was a little bit of learning on my part.
Okay, no, understood. That's good feedback. And we of course debated that around of like, what's the right thing to keep your eyes on the trail and have something that's intuitive. If you push it up, you're going to go a little faster. If you pull it down, it just seems intuitive. If you figured it out within a couple seconds, that's probably mission accomplished for us.
Sounds good. So you mentioned a little bit, so the Ram 15 Classic is still available, right?
It is.
And it's which configuration? So is that also the two-door cab? So some of the configurations or trim levels that already have been available are still continuing?
Yes. We're continuing, kind of call it the more entry-level price classes. We're continuing through there with the Ram 1500 Classic, what we know internally as the DS. Mm-hmm. That truck still performs well, has its place in the Ram portfolio, and represents a kind of the entry to the light duty segment. There's also the Warlock, which we have had in that trim line in the past, which has been a good mix of being able to take the solid classic truck and then be able to step into the fifth generation, the DT. To find different features that customers might be looking for in the portfolio.
Yeah, we actually owned a TFL truck. We had the DS two-door, we call them stubby, so two-door.
Oh, did you?
And it was a 4x4 with a V6 Pentastar, and it was a really honest truck. I mean, it still continues to be, really useful.
Yep. And there's still a quad cab available there. And yeah, but I didn't answer your question, but yes, that's where you get the regular cab is on the DS Classic right now.
Gotcha. And then, so let's, I guess, wrap up by speaking a little bit about the Rev and the Ram Charger. You had some prototypes at the event that we could actually see in person. Mm-hmm. So just let's introduce those for people who may not know much about them.
Okay, yeah, Ram Rev, R-E-V, essentially means the Ram EV. And that is our first foray into electrified pickup truck or a full EV pickup truck. We're recognizing range is very important. So we're setting best in class targets there. We're recognizing towing is important, and that even towing range, so that there's the right, this is going to be a truck for the right buyer that has ability to some level of charging infrastructure and also wants to do some towing, that's going to be our offering for that specific customer that really wants the full-on BEV experience. We've done some work on the front end. I think if you saw that truck that we had available, aerodynamics is important to us. So we're putting a lot of effort into the aero, into the drag, to make sure that we can get every mile out of this and still have it be every bit a Ram truck, and with payload and towing numbers that will go along with that.
Yeah, and the
Ram Charger. Yeah.
It's traditional shape, right? I mean, so it's a crew cab with a 5'7" bed, right?
That's right. Yes. So, and that's how we're...
You didn't create something new. I mean, as far as the form factor of the vehicle.
That's right. We still want to recognize everything that's been done on our truck for, you know, over 100 years, that the usability and the familiarity and how do I, you know, how do I use a pickup? How do I use a light duty pickup? Really shouldn't have to learn something new when we have an electric propulsion system with it. We still think that somebody's using their truck as a tool, that it's built to serve them, and they shouldn't have to adapt to or adapt in a great way to something just because it's electrified. So we're trying to keep those familiar things as much familiar as possible, and make our adjustments in a little bit of the styling and about in the way the air flows over, around, and under the truck to make it the most efficient, but without compromise to the usability of a truck. Similarly, we have a very large front trunk on that truck, realizing there's a place for the, call it the clean side storage, and then use the bed as the dirty side storage. We've got 15 cubic feet of storage underneath that frunk. It's a power frunk. And thinking that that'll find some new customers who maybe storage could be one of those things that's holding them back from a pickup truck. Essentially, it's kind of looking like SUV levels of clean, dry storage under the frunk and still not giving up anything in the pickup bed.
Yeah, 15 cubic feet, that's a lot of space. Sure is. I like to compare it to... if people remember large sedans, there's not many.
Okay.
But that's basically a big trunk, like a big charger, like a Dodge Charger. So that's a lot of space.
Right. We have power outlets in there as well. So there will be a power panel to be able to run things out of the front of the truck and similarly out of the inverter in the back, like we see on our mid-cycle upgrade here.
And you have two different batteries and two ranges, right, planned? For the Rev.
Correct. Yes, we'll be launching with the Ram Rev, then coming later with a larger battery, and with that more range.
I gotcha. And then there is the Ram Charger, which is similar but not the same.
Yeah. Similar in that it has a range extending generator on board. So with that, it's important to note that the electric propulsion system is very, very similar to the Ram Rev. So it's electric drive modules, which are propelling the truck. Even if you just put your foot to the floor, the generator doesn't need to kick on. You still get all of that really quiet, seamless electric power, the EV driving experience in the Ram Charger as well. But what's unique is that as the battery becomes depleted and there's a need for more range, that's when the generator will kick on. And that engine generator, it's the engine behind that is actually our Pentastar. And we recognize that engine has a lot of durability. It's quiet, it's smooth, and it does its job in the background to power that generator as that driver needs it. As they need more range, it's there. But fundamentally, there's no mechanical connection between the crankshaft and the wheels, so to speak. It's purely an electric drive all the time.
Yeah, but I believe one of your claims is for the Ram Chargers, up to 690 miles of driving range total.
Yes.
Combined with all the energy.
Yes.
On board. That's pretty huge. I mean, that's like diesel level, you know, heavy duty diesel level of range.
Yeah. And that is, if you were to just fill both sources of energy, so to speak, go with a full charge and go with a full tank of gas there will be 690 miles on the combined cycle to go. We're expecting that this truck is something that people will want to plug in, that if they have access to the electrical energy, would plug it in. I mean, that's really the we're really meaning it for the EV truck buyer, but it brings on a new level of electrical power that can be taken off board, 7.2 kilowatts. So we take our, you know, that basic inverter we were talking about before with the ICE. Now that we have all this electric power plant on board, we can really crank up the amount of exportable power, if you will. So we really want to find that, you know, that customer that's looking for the EV experience and the EV power that they can take along with them. And if they're plugging it in, taking advantage of the economics of the electrical, say charging at home, but without the limitation of the EV infrastructure that may be around them.
I gotcha. And so the REV is coming first, you said, and then the REM charger is next year, right?
Or correct. Yes, REV this year, REM next year.
I got you. And have you talked about pricing yet on those models?
I'm sorry, you know, our connection just blanked for a second. Can you repeat the question?
Sorry. And what about pricing on the REV and the REM charger? Have you announced that yet?
Have not. No, have not. That'll be closer to launch.
Great. Well, Doug, I think we hit most of the points, right, on this new truck.
I think so. Yeah. Glad you had a chance to experience it, to drive it, and you know, have some seat time while you were out here in Texas.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a loaner here in Colorado as well. Like I said, I really want to try the iGauntlet, and you know, test as many variations as possible as soon as possible. So we're all about pickup trucks here. So we're really looking forward to that. Thanks for your time again. And well, hopefully we'll meet again sometime and actually spend more time together.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, I really enjoyed meeting the other day and, you know, talking trucks with you now and looking forward to doing more in the future.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Andre. Take care.
Whoa, dude. So what I didn't know before this episode is that the electrical system, the communication, the nervous system of this truck was new. Mm-hmm. They call it Atlantis High System. You know, Stellantis, Atlantis.
Yeah, I got that part.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. They're finally getting better with some of their word. Yeah.
Anyways, no. And it enables many features like over-the-air updates. Well, you may have good thoughts about it and also bad thoughts about it because over-the-air updates allow you to, the manufacturer to update their truck very, very quickly.
Sure.
But there's also, if you want to do modifications, it may inhibit some of that and make it more difficult.
There's also reports that in some cases OTAs can cause battery drain on certain types of trucks.
I experienced one of those also.
I know.
With my Chevy?
I know.
Anyways, so also it was quite interesting because you know how manufacturers love best in class, you know, claims?
Sure.
Those really, really high claims. And Ram has a few. For example, 540 horsepower.
Damn.
Out of their new high output engine and 521 pound feet of torque. This is non, well, yes, so the Raptor R has more horsepower
yes.
on the Ford side, but if you exclude that exclusive, you know, high performance truck.
Small percentage sales wise truck, I would say.
Yeah, if you talk about, you know, that you can get this high output engine in several different trims on the Ram, that's pretty impressive. But it was interesting what Doug had to say about, you know, some of the payload and towing numbers, because those numbers are not completely class leading.
No, they're not.
And Ram just decided to, you know, if you want bigger numbers, get a heavy duty truck, right? I mean, it's not about towing, you know, 12,000 or 14,000 pounds with a half ton, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I still would love to talk to Doug about that payload rating. I do think it's a little low.
Well, yeah. So, on the work version, the Tradesman, it's about 2,300 pounds, which
much
is good.
Better.
Which is good. But once again,
you can't get that beefy engine in with it, though.
Not the high output, right? And for example, Ford F-150 claims a higher number, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at those billboard numbers, I mean, it's kind of an interesting game you have to play.
Right.
But by the way, the Tradesman does have a standard output twin turbo. So if you want 420 horsepower in your work truck, you could still get that.
So what you're getting is basically very similar to what the output. What was the output on the 5.7 liter Hemi?
395. So you're getting 25 extra horsepower.
Right.
But a gobs more torque.
Lots more torque. Yeah. And most likely a more efficient powertrain, too. I mean, that doesn't take much.
So I did have a small test. You know, I drove about 45 miles or 50 miles on one of my road trips in this truck, standard output Hurricane engine. And I saw about 19 and a half, almost 20 mpg in kind of some highway mixed driving, highway and also smaller country roads.
Okay.
So I wasn't completely blown away by it, but once again, this is a kind of a small sample, right?
Right.
We still need to put it on our Denver 100
test. At the very least, yeah. When we get our hands on any of these Rams, we're going to be testing the hell out of them. You can bet your dollar on that.
Totally. And, of course, iGauntlet, because a lot of you want to know more about this turbocharged engine. How does it do grade shifting? How does it go down the mountain, right?
I'm very curious. I want to know if it performs similar to the way that the V6 twin turbo in the Toyota, which we've recently tested, if it performs in a similar way with that engine.
Yeah, and of course they have the tow haul mode. Mm-hmm. They have some towing technologies that they added to it. And those mirrors, dude, those towing mirrors.
When he got back from his trip, all he could do is tell us about the mirrors. And then he whipped out his phone and he was showing me specifically what he was talking about. And I have to be honest with you, mirrors, I know that sounds like it's nitpicking when a vehicle has bad mirrors versus good mirrors. It really matters, not just for towing, but just driving in traffic in general. Because these are big trucks, right? And I've always felt that some companies did mirrors better than others. And I used to love what Ram was doing with their flip-up mirrors back in the day. But they stopped moving forward, so to speak, in terms of innovation. However, this new system that they have set up, it looks intuitive. And according to Andre, and I really do hang a lot of what Andre says out there as being fact, it's supposed to be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to using it.
Yeah, I'm curious when you see it in person and use it, also what you think about it.
Well, you know, I'm ham-fisted, so I'm going to screw it up eventually. But you know,
that's the thing. I mean, it needs to be tested in the real world. They redesigned the entire window switch control.
Well, I like the size of it, too, because it looks like it's actually physically larger where the buttons are, where you can control moving the mirrors around. And it's especially interesting for people who have fleets. Because when you have a fleet, then you're not necessarily having the same employee jumping into that truck every day. So being able to quickly adjust those mirrors accurately, that's huge. So I do like that.
Yeah, totally. And you have, like you said, good visibility and also fun technology. Like some of the premium trucks have power extend, power fold.
I like
and
that.
It's all on the same switch. You don't have to look somewhere, different places.
Which is huge. Once again, I really do think that's a big deal. So that's really awesome stuff.
Yes. So there you have it. Hopefully you've got a really good idea now about the new Ram 1500, brand new 2025 truck. They're supposed to have started production now. Mm-hmm. They're built in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell when they're going to be appearing at dealers, because it's one thing to start production, but also, you know, they have quality checks when the new vehicle first launches.
Right.
And then shipping. There could be, I don't know, knock on wood, maybe no component shortages. So it's hard to say, maybe in a couple of months. They said Q1 though. So by the end of March, we should be seeing them at the dealership. You should start seeing them.
I suspect that you are going to hear a lot more about this truck in the very near future, because I do think that they're going to try to keep within that Q1. So stay tuned for that, guys. It's coming very soon.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us as always. Stay tuned to our weekly podcast. Thanks for listening and watching. And remember, oldtfl.com, all news, all the time, in one place, because we have a lot going on.
We always have a lot going on.
Seven other channels, right?
Way too many. All right, guys, have a great week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.